Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to Jessamine County Judge Executive David West. Recently, our own Camp Nelson Heritage Park was named a national monument, the first in Kentucky. We'll talk to Judge West about that process, how it all came to be, and what it means for our community. And we'll do that right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here at Jess FM.
Are you swamped with holiday decorating, buying presents, and loads of baking? Give yourself a break and call Rachel's Rose Garden. We can help you decorate with beautiful seasonal wreaths for your door and garlands for your home, using customized colors and styles to match the decor you love. And don't forget about the centerpiece. Whether for your own home or as a beautiful hostess gift, Rachel's Rose Garden can help you impress this Christmas season. Call 859-858-9415 or stop into our shop in Wilmore to see our great gift line, including fashion accessories and handmade gifts for the whole family.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things. Well, some of you may have heard or read about something that happened in our county a few weeks ago that has never happened in Kentucky before. And it was a place called Camp Nelson, which we all know and is dear to our hearts, and its history in the southern part of the Jessamine County was named a national monument by the U.S. government. First time it's ever happened in our state. And with us today is our County Judge Executive David West, who was very instrumental in helping to get this done. It even goes back, not this monument thing, but the Camp Nelson story goes back into Neils Cassidy's administration. We'll talk about that. So I asked David to come over today and to talk about the process of how Camp Nelson went from a county project to now a national monument. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Doug. Thanks for having us.
And first off, let me congratulate you on your win as County Judge Executive in the last election, another 4 years to get some other things done.
Thank you so much, Doug. It is humbling and it's a little bit scary because people place their trust in you, and you want to work hard to make sure that trust is well placed.
And just keep on doing what you're doing and you'll be all right, I think.
Thank you.
All right. So Camp Nelson, which has been around since the beginning of Jessamine County, eventually became a training camp for African Americans in particular back in the Civil War. And that's kind of how it started, I guess.
That's correct, Doug. Prior to that, however, it was established as a supply center for several campaigns for the Union Army, primarily because the bridge at Camp Nelson was one of the two bridges that traversed the Kentucky River.
Okay.
So it was a natural supply route.
Sure.
It became later the third largest training center, I believe, for African American troops for the Civil War.
And back then, I guess because a lot, if not most, of the travel was done on the river by boats.
Absolutely. The Kentucky River was like the I-75 of today.
Yeah,
the majority of travel was took place on the rivers.
So we've got this place down there. They're training people. Not only are they training, there was a little bit of history that we have here that the Emancipation Proclamation has a tie to all this, because the wives and the children, even though they came with their husbands, they couldn't be freed, I guess, if you call it that.
That's correct. Kentucky was a slaveholding Union state. So the Emancipation Proclamation didn't really apply to any slaves held in Kentucky. However, if they sought refuge at Camp Nelson, they were later granted their freedom there, so they considered it their Canada.
And it was the place to go and to get to.
Absolutely.
So that has happened during the Civil War. We know the ties to Camp Nelson even came into Nicholasville. We just did a program not long ago on Nicholasville Baptist Church. It was a hospital. It was a storage facility, too. All right. We're going to come on up into the 20th century to start, I guess, and take us through. Camp Nelson has always been there. Eventually, a lot of those buildings disappeared. What was there, 300-400 buildings at one time?
Yes, and many were dismantled when the Army left. The only original structure there is what we refer to as the Oliver Perry House, and that's or the White House.
Right.
That was the headquarters for the Union camp.
So that house still stood. And at some point in time, and was it during Neil Cassidy's administration when the county obtained that, or was it before that?
No, it was during Neil's. That farm became available, and it may have been Neil, it may have been George Dean, but someone took notice of that and said, let's preserve this for Jessamine County. Let's make a park out of it, a historical attraction. And that's where the vision started. That was obtained with a grant, as was most of the land, not all of the land, for the Camp Nelson National Monument.
And that farm attaches to the National Cemetery.
No, not the original piece did not.
Oh, it did not.
I think there were three different pieces.
Okay.
And the third piece touched the National Cemetery.
Okay.
But there was one key piece in the middle, and Neil and George, I believe, had some agreements with the Glass family that if they ever wanted to sell their property, that the county would get the first shot.
Right.
And upon Mr. Glass' death, a few months later, Miss Glass decided that she wanted to sell the property and approached us, but there was a timeline there. There wasn't enough time to write a grant and go through that application process. So it sent us into a heavy scramble, because I had already had some discussions with Congressman Barr about how I felt like this was important enough to draw national attention and be a national park at that time, not a national monument. He explained to me that to consider it, we would have to have that piece in the middle.
So the county only owned the two pieces when you became judge. Miss Glass's deal was after you were elected.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I had the knowledge that we needed the contiguous piece of property. And some people question, why is the county buying another farm? But there was a method to the madness, but we didn't want to broadcast that. We were able to search several different methods to obtain financing, and finally wound up with USDA, and the local representative here, John Johnson, was extremely helpful. We got the best deal as far as length of the loan being 40 years and the interest rate. So it was very good for the county. At that time, that was the only piece of property that we could have sold. We got all the others on grant.
Oh,
so
okay.
We didn't have money in that. But I knew there was an escape clause, because we could have sold that and I believe made a profit.
Okay. So prior to getting that third piece, though, the county, Jessamine County and the fiscal court, put some money into getting this place built up. You had the old White House, and it had to be renovated, and it was.
Right.
And then there's some other buildings that were built later on, I guess. I don't know what you call them, David.
The Interpretive Center and the Barracks is what I refer to them. Both great additions to the park there. And most of that was funded by grants.
Okay.
I mean, grants at one time were very prevalent, and money was accessible, and that seems to have dried up as the economy tightened, but those were funded primarily through grants as well.
So all in all, other than this piece of property from Miss Glass, the county really didn't have any of its own money invested. It was through the grants.
That's correct. Okay. And it's important to note, if you study that type of thing, we have retained ownership of the Glass farm, because the national government has a biennial budget. And in this biennial budget, there wasn't any money for land acquisition.
Okay.
So there is a plan to include money, which actually gives Jessamine County a profit,
but
to purchase the Glass farm in the next biennial budget.
Okay.
That's correct.
We're sitting down there, and Jessamine County is doing a fine job at getting all this, the house renovated, the buildings built. They're having reenactments down there. They're having Civil War days, which is fabulous. I was lucky enough to go to several of them and see, in fact, they were there the other day at your dedication of Frederick Douglass impersonator and Abe Lincoln impersonator, and people set up in tents the way it used to be. Horse riders, it just showed you how it was done.
And Doug, I think the National Park Service is just going to expand upon that. Met with the interim director yesterday, and you know, he started explaining the supplies that we will get for the Junior Ranger program, and we've already had people calling down there.
Yeah.
Do you have the Junior Ranger books down there? The National Parks passports.
Yeah.
We actually have a stamp now that says Camp Nelson National Monument, Nicholasville, Kentucky. And there are people that make it a point to just travel around the nation
and see those
and visit these parks and get their passport stamped.
You come into office, all this is running as a county park, if you will. At what point in time did this light bulb go off with somebody about this should be in the national system. Where did that come in?
When I became county judge executive, I became aware, and was aware before that, that this was probably one of the most underutilized pieces of property that Jessamine County had. Mm-hmm. Although there were quite a few visitors, your normal Jessamine Countyan didn't go down there, even though there's 2.5 miles of trails, beautiful scenery. And I thought, how can we use this better? How can we use this more? Mm-hmm. We own this land, more people should go there. So we had discussions with Wayne Hayden and Mary Kozak, Peggy McClintock, Sam Cassidy, that are down at the park. And we
now
started.
They're county employees.
They are county employees right now.
Okay.
And we started just a think tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then the national stage just, I guess if the light bulb went off, you can blame me for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought this should be, this part of the story should be on the national stage.
Yeah.
And the park system, that's one of the things that they continue to say. We've told the battlefield stories,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't really told this story.
Mm-hmm.
And they grabbed on it, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Did you then, what was your first steps to contact who and how and do what? How'd you sell this thing to somebody?
Well, Congressman Barr grabbed this concept, mm-hmm. and he and I went down by ourselves one time and were walking through the interpretive center. He spent some time reading some of the signs, and I said, Congressman Barr, for our district, for Jessamine County, we need to make this happen. And he grabbed that. Of course, legislation to become a national monument is a long process.
So at that time, you were thinking national park.
We were thinking national park.
Okay.
Ryan Zinke, who had served with Congressman Barr in the House of Representatives, became the Secretary of the Interior, and they were talking about this one day, and Secretary Zinke said, why don't we name it a national monument? The president has the authority to do that mm-hmm. on his own mm-hmm. Through the Antiquities Act of 1909.
Okay.
It's not used often, but it can be used for significant sites.
So that's the main difference. National Park has to go through legislation, I would assume, through Congress, both House and Senate, and then signed by a president, whereas National Monument could be named by a president without all of that.
That is correct.
Okay.
And now it's important to note, too, that there is ongoing legislation. It has already passed the House.
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate, but there are some revisions that have to be made to advance this legislatively to become a full-fledged national park. So we're going to go through that, but a national monument is part of the national park system.
What is, if there is, what is the advantages to have it go on and be a national park, or is there?
The national park has different designations. There are national historic sites, mm-hmm. such as the Lincoln Birthplace.
Mm-hmm.
There are national recreational areas that Kentucky has two, but I think we share one with Tennessee and one with West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
There are national monuments and national parks. The exact designation, I don't know, because eventually, after this three-year transition plan that we have with them for full takeover, we will have park rangers employed here in Jessamine County, some of which may be our current employees.
Now, in Kentucky, we have, as far as I know, a couple of national parks for sure. You've got Daniel Boone National Park. You've got Mammoth Cave, I guess.
Mammoth Cave's the only national park. Daniel Boone is a national forest.
Oh, thanks for that.
So
yeah, I didn't know that.
What the difference is, I don't know, because of the Department of Interior. Is the main administrator.
Okay, so you got a national park. That's good to know. National park. Mammoth Cave is a national park. Daniel Boone's National Forest. But this is the first national monument.
The first national monument in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Another example of a national monument is a Statue of Liberty. So we are a sister unit to the Statue of Liberty. That's pretty good company to keep.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Did you, at the time that, I guess, Zinke brought up the idea of the monument.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think when you got that word?
Congressman Barr called me or visited me, and I don't recall exactly which one. And told me that there was a fast track for this to happen. And, of course, I was extremely excited, but Doug also somewhat scared because this has been Jessamine County's baby.
Sure.
We've loved it. We've cared for it. The overwhelming observation from the people that I took was, why do you want us to take this? You're taking such good care of this.
Yeah.
But I think the answer to that is that it places it on the national and even the world spotlight. We were in newspapers in California, Washington, D.C., the New York Times recognized this as such an important piece. And I think it's wonderful that there's not really a debate on this one.
Right.
The right thing was done.
Right.
Congressman Barr's co-sponsor for his legislation is a African-American Democratic congresswoman from Ohio. So it was truly a bipartisan
and
thing.
Should be.
And should be. There's just not an argument that I can find against this designation.
And one of the cool things about this whole thing is that there are still in our county living descendants of people who served while it was a training camp down there during the Civil War.
Absolutely. I don't know exactly the origin, whether they came to be soldiers or they came to flee from their bondage, but their families, their descendants, love the area.
Right.
They remained here and live here today.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Absolutely. You have learned then that the Monument Way is the fast track. So kind of take us down the road of it, maybe a little short timeline here, of how it got from there to Saturday a few weeks ago. In fact, I remember the day or two before that, I was with you. I don't remember if it was in your office or something, and you're like, you were here. You had come over here for something. And you're like, oh, my gosh, they just let me know that they're coming tomorrow to do the deed. So take us a timeline here of how that all worked.
It was a hectic schedule. And we actually thought the designation was going to be made at the end of September, September 27th. We got notice. We're going to be there. Plan an event. We planned the event. We planned the reenactors to be there.
Yeah.
Some food and some local participation. And then we got a call. Well, there's still some issues that we need to work out because deeds had to be done. We had to transfer the land to the American Battlefield Trust.
Oh.
Because there was a provision that the federal government had to own the land before the president could name it the National Monument. Uh-huh. So we actually had to transfer to the American Battlefield Trust because the federal government was not allowed to take it from another governmental unit.
Okay.
So there was that nonprofit middleman, and deed preparation, titles had to be researched, and wow, you talk about, I don't want to call it a bureaucracy, but they wanted to make sure that everything was done properly.
Absolutely.
So it was such a task. Brian Gettle, Marty East did a yeoman's work, and there were so many emails coming in. I finally told my staff, please quit printing all these emails. I'll read them on my computer because I almost doubted that it would happen.
Kelly Willems, that works in your office and has worked there for quite a time, told me one day after all this happened, she said, Doug, said, you know, we would go a week and not hear a word, and then all of a sudden you'd walk in and your email folder would be full. It's just like they stayed up all night. Boom, 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 boom. She was talking about how crazy it was to deal with all these, because it's federal.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And with credit to Kelly and Tiffany Shoemaker in my office, they really kept up. They file things, and they were able to access the documents that we needed. We had some rental agreements for the farms. The federal government left no stone unturned in the process because they wanted a clear and full understanding of the property that they were about to obtain. And they put us through the task, but we were up to the task.
You got the word, the best I remember, it was a Thursday, I think, when you kind of got the word, they're coming in here tomorrow to transfer these deeds. And Saturday is when Cabinet Secretary Zinke, came in to do this ceremony at Camp Nelson. I mean, that 48 hours, basically.
We had prepared three different times for this ceremony to happen. And I finally threw my hands in there and said, I'm not going to believe it until Secretary Zinke buys his plane ticket to come down here. And you are correct. We had thought the Friday previous that we were going to do all the transfers. Then that got switched to Monday. And then we didn't hear anything for a day or two. And then Thursday, get ready. We transferred the land on Friday, and he flew in on Saturday.
And it was a done. And you know, they evidently, David, I thought about this as I sat in that room and watched you guys up there. They knew it was coming because they already had that sign prepared that you unveiled. And you know, they didn't do that in an hour's time, I wouldn't think. But, and by the way, folks, that's not the actual sign that you'll see out front, although it is what it'll look like, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, the National Park Service has some branding, and, and the brand that they seem to be most proud of is the arrowhead.
Right.
That symbolizes its entrance to all national park units.
Yeah.
And, we've got one here in Jessamine County. Now.
Is it up? I haven't been down since. Is it up yet?
The sign is when you go into the interpretive center.
Yeah.
We have it proudly displayed as you first walk in. That's the first thing that you'll see. But they will be providing with more marks. That's one of the things that we covered in our meeting yesterday. The National Park Service, the Department of Interior, will be working with the Kentucky Transportation Department to get signage on the roads. Even as far as I-75, directing people to this national monument.
Now, David, even though the deeds were signed and they came in and did the ceremony, the county's involvement in this can't be over for a little while anyway. You've got a transition period. Tell us about that.
We've got a three-year management agreement with the National Park Service to transition. They want the community to be involved before, during, and after this. They don't want to take it over and people wash their hands. They still want county involvement. They still want citizen involvement.
Yeah.
They want to be a very strong presence in the life of Jessamine County.
So you guys, this is not over for you. When I say you guys, I'm talking about you in the fiscal court and the employees down there either. This is really just beginning.
This is the beginning of the transition. Yesterday was our first really, I guess you would say, official meeting with the interim director. It was very productive. He talked about things such as the signage. He talked about things such as the financial transition from the county to the National Park Service. He met with the employees about the interpretive programs that are available that we spoke of earlier, like the Junior Ranger, and involving schools not only in Jessamine County, but in this state more and more. He talked about the maintenance of the facilities and what equipment would be needed. So the long-range plans, the wheels are in motion now, and it's very exciting.
One aspect of this that we have to touch on, and you kind of have a couple of times, is the effect that this is going to have on tourism in our county. And that is not just people coming to see Camp Nelson. That can affect every business that is located in Jessamine County.
I think so. We've got a great challenge and a wonderful opportunity. There were 20,000 horses and mules that were rehabilitated at Camp Nelson. That ties in with Kentucky's equine history. I vision horse farm tours that Camp Nelson is part of. Why not stay here in Jessamine County? Why not have people stay here that want to look at the Bourbon Trail, but also look at the first commercial winery in the United States of America that was right here?
Right here.
Why not make it part of a cultural trail and for the African-American history? You think about African-American men coming to fight. That's one of the first steps of the civil rights movement. We also have the Civil War historical buffs. Stay here in Jessamine County. Go to Perryville. Go to Richmond. And even if someone drives in and out, they may buy a tank of gas.
They could.
They may buy a meal here.
Right.
They may stop in one of our shops. They may stay in a bed and breakfast or one of our hotels here and have the full experience. The Palisades are beautiful. We have High Bridge area. We have Wilmore and Asbury that have cultural events. I think our potential is great.
Yeah. I really, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know that I can truly envision what this could potentially lead to in tourism in our our county and the effect that it could have when it really, really gets rolling and gets going. I just think that I'm underestimating probably the effect it's going to have. It's going to be a good effect.
The Abraham Lincoln birthplace, mm-hmm. which is the historical site here in Kentucky, their director is actually serving as our interim director, has over 200,000 visitors a year. Now, that's local and from out of right. county. But just imagine, Doug, if we had 50,000 people from out of county yeah. visit us, yeah. spend some money here in Jessamine County, look at what we have to offer. Mm-hmm. The economic impact is great.
Oh, yeah, it surely is. And I think that's an important aspect that not only as a judge and fiscal court did you guys have to look at it from a historical aspect, but you have to look at it from that aspect as well. You have to look at the whole picture.
Absolutely.
And as you said earlier, I don't know really any bad part of this whole picture. I can't think of anything.
I can't think of a negative here
yeah.
unless you don't like more visitors. Well, you know, we've got the transportation system, right? It's right mm-hmm. on 27, mm-hmm. so it's not really going to significantly impact any neighborhood.
No.
Doug, one thing I do want to say is I just want to thank the whole team from Jessamine County.
Yeah.
Marty East did a great job, Brian Gettle, the staff in my office, mm-hmm. the people at Camp Nelson, the fiscal courts before ours, and our fiscal court, they supplied me with the support to push this forward,
yeah.
and it was a total team effort.
Sure. And then, and not only, not I know you haven't forgot them, but those people that live down in that area, those descendants, and all of that group, man,
absolutely.
You talk about, they were absolutely thrilled. I made a particular point to notice how they reacted that day, and it was just, I remember a time, this is the only story I can think of, but I have to use it. Back 20-something years ago, my dad received an honor at the Chamber of Commerce, and I remember him saying after it was over, I feel like what I have done now has been recognized. And I could almost see those people feel the same way about their descendants. They feel like all that was done 200 years ago has now been noticed and justified, I guess, if you will.
I think you're right. The pride was yeah. evident of yeah. the descendants,
right.
not just the residents here, not just the officials here, but those people had roots.
Yes.
And it's always gratifying, I believe, to look back at what your ancestors did.
Sure.
It may not have been highly noted then, mm-hmm. but it certainly is recognized mm-hmm. as a important piece of American history.
Exactly.
Now.
And that just goes to prove a point that we have pointed out on this show many times. You never know what you do today, what kind of effect it may have on someone 50 years from now or 100. You just don't know. It happens, and it's why we all ought to be watching out what we do, I guess. But you can. Your life can have a tremendous effect on people that generations to come.
Doug, now, as always, doing the right thing pays off, and I just want to encourage everybody to go down there. I've had several people since this process has begun that said, I've never been there. Oh, my gosh, I'm mm-hmm. going to bring my children back. I'm
yeah.
going to bring my grandchildren. I encourage everybody to visit Camp yeah. Nelson National Monument.
National. Isn't it cool to say that?
That's exciting.
National Monument. Before I forget, if they want to do that, what is the normal operating hours now?
We're closed on Monday, mm-hmm. the Interpretive Center.
Mm-hmm.
So Tuesday through Saturday, mm-hmm. And I believe, Doug, the hours are 8 to 4, but it might be good to
give them a call.
Give us a call
yeah.
at the judge's office or give them a call down there at the Interpretive
yeah.
Center.
Good luck with it. I know that your job is really just starting. Even though you've had to go through a lot of stuff to get this happen, you're still involved as the judge and the court is, but you've got such great support now. I mean, this has happened, and you've got the feds that are there to come in and help you out like this guy did yesterday. So continued success with that, and I guess the next thing to do is look for the next big project, right?
Well, we're always looking. We want to make Jessamine County a better place, but it's always fun when you're building.
Exactly. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Doug.
My thanks to David West for coming in this morning and talking about Camp Nelson National Monument. And I appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning as well. We'll do it again next week at 11 o'clock. And don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning to get you up and going, 6 to 8 a.m. on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.